This is the first Sunday in Advent, right? All right, now, does anybody know what this is? Well, we know it's a box. Now, do y'all know Elaine? Elaine Turner? She gave me this. Now, there's a great, wise person in the movies who made a comment about boxes of chocolate. Life is, now how's he finish it? Life is like a box of chocolates, then what? Inside. Now, what I did is, you will see, can you see that? Most of them are gone. Because with this box of chocolates came a list of what they were. These are all the ones I don't want. I'm just going to pass this around. Feel free to eat it. It's nasty. So here, I'll give them to you. Just chew, eat the whole box.
You could just bite the corner better.
Yeah, just bite the corner and pass it on. Yeah, yeah. The reason why I share that with you is we're going to be talking about Isaiah, and we're going to talk about troubled times. So not just the birth of Christ into the time that he was born, but I want to apply it to our lives about the times we have. Sometimes we have good times, we have bad times, but the important thing to remember is that God is always with us in our good and in our bad times, right? That's good. You're supposed to say amen, so that was right. Okay. Pastor's trying to get his sermon to come up. Technology is a wonderful thing, isn't it? But Pastor Tom's smart. He has a paper copy, too. So, done with you, Apple. And here we go, pine tree. So, the big idea is this, that God has proved his faithfulness by doing the impossible. How? By through a virgin that would eventually, through her child, heal this dark world. The point is, God can do the impossible. God did the impossible by sending Jesus Christ to this earth to be the redemption for our own sins, to pay for our sins. And to reunite us with God. He did the impossible. There are probably people in your own life that you say, I will never talk to that person again. Or they'll say, I'll never talk to you again. God can do the impossible. So the real point is right now is whatever you're really struggling for, ask God to help you with it. Now, I'm not saying, for instance, some of you may be thinking, well, what I want to really do, preacher, is win the lottery. Yeah. And you pray and pray and pray. You know what? Maybe God wants you to win the lottery. I'm not going to tell you no. But you want to do what God wants you to do, right? Jesus is always praying about the Father's will. So pray. But God can, no matter what situation you're in, I'm telling you, God is bigger and better than whatever you're facing, and he can help you. And that is an encouragement to me. So no matter the times, God is with us. So there's our big idea, and here's the challenge. The challenge is, no matter the times, good or bad, troubled or calm, if you choose to place your trust in God, he will deliver. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. Now, here's the context. You see in there in chapter 7, verse 1, during the time that Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah, son of Remaliah of Israel, attacked Jerusalem, but the attack sputtered out. Now, we'll stop there because who's king of Judah? Uzziah. So what I want to do is give you a little context about what we're about to read in Isaiah chapter 7. And I want to tell you about this king named Uzziah. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, one of the most famous scriptures that we like to talk about is, "Here am I, Lord, send me," right? We love that scripture. I love that scripture. It was pivotal in my life when I was dealing with the call to the ministry, is hear my Lord, send me, and just my desire to follow whatever God was leading in my own life. So I did some studying on old King Uzziah. He's the king of Judah, and I almost started to compare him to Donald Trump, and then I thought, no, I better not do that. But what he did, he's known for recovering the nation. When he became king, he did all kinds of stuff that turned that country around. For instance, he developed a series of irrigation ditches throughout the country that began this agricultural boom in the country. So farmers were getting more stuff. And when farmers had more food, the people got fed. Farmers made more money. Money then went to the merchants. So they had an economic boom in the country. So Uzziah was the bomb. Everybody loved him. He looked around the country and he said, you know what? We've got some nations around us. Pat, could you give me a bottle of water? We've got some nations around us that don't like us and they're going to attack us soon. So, well, guess what? He invaded those troubling nations around him and made safe their area, their country. So he did that. Then the other thing that he did was, this is not necessarily a good idea, and remember this one, but he went into the country or into the temple, and he started to tell, thank you, Pat, started to tell the priest what to do, sort of like the deacons do with preachers today. But I'm kidding, deacons. But yeah, he started to kind of dominate the priest. We'll come to that in a moment. But he also organized the military. He got the military and he said, you know what? You need better chariots. You need better spears. You need faster arrows. So he got all the cool stuff that the soldiers need. And then he did something else that is really cool. He decided, which was correct, that they needed officers. I'm waiting. Y'all do know I was a lieutenant colonel, right? Okay. So he needed officers. And so he reorganized the army and started with, organized it with privates and non-commissioned officers and officers. That was just unheard of. So he reorganized the military. Huge, big deal. So he did so many cool things in the country that, everybody just was prospering. But he did something because he thought he was so cool. Is he said, you know what? I'm going to go into the temple and I'm going to burn my own incense. I am king. I'll do what I want. I'm going to go in. Well, guess what? Guess who only lit the incense? The priest. So he goes in and he lights that incense, and according to God's word, there was an earthquake. And during that earthquake, Uzziah got, somebody know? Leprosy. All happened, just boom. And when he got that leprosy, what happens? What do we know about the Bible says about leprosy? What do you do when you see a leper? They were outcast. They would have to walk around town ringing the bell and going what? Unclean. One reason why I knew I needed to lose weight yesterday was I was wearing my yellow raincoat and I was over at Walmart and it started raining. Three people said taxi. So I realized that I needed to lose weight. So I'm losing weight. You're going to see a thinner pastor in months and years and decades to come. So so he got leprosy, and as soon as he got the leprosy, he withdrew. And really, that's the last we hear of this king. And then he dies. And then the land goes into chaos. And now we get to the scripture that we have today. Says during the time, again in verse 1, during the time that Ahaz, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and King Pekah, son of Remaliah of Israel, attacked Jerusalem, but the attack sputtered out. When the Davidic government learned that Aram had joined forces with Ephraim, that's Israel, Ahaz and his people were badly shaken. They shook like trees in the wind. Then God told Isaiah, go and meet Ahaz. Take your son, Shear-Joshub. This is why you go to seminaries to pronounce these words, which means a remnant will return. And take him with you. Meet him south of the city at the end of the aqueduct where it empties into the upper pool on the road to the public laundry. Tell him, listen, calm down. Don't be afraid. And don't panic over these two burned out cases, Rezin of Aram and the son of Remaliah. They talk big, but there's nothing to them. Aram, along with Ephraim, son of Remaliah, have plotted to do you harm. They've conspired against you, saying, let's go to war against Judah, dismember it, take it for ourselves, and set the son of Tibeel up as a puppet king over it. But God, the master, says, it won't happen. Nothing will come of it, because the capital of Aram is Damascus, and the king of Damascus is a mere man, Rezin. As for Ephraim, in 65 years, it will be rubble, nothing left of it. The capital of Ephraim is Samaria, and the king of Samaria is the mere son of Remaliah. If you don't take your stand in faith, you won't have a leg to stand on. God spoke again to Ahaz in verse 10. This time he said, ask for a sign from your God. Ask anything. Be extravagant. Ask for the moon. But I'm reading from the message, by the way, if you're wondering where these words are coming from. He said, but Ahaz said, I'd never do that. I'd never make demands like that on God. So Isaiah told him, then listen to this. Government of David, it's bad enough that you make people tired with your pious, timid hypocrisies, but now you're making God tired, so the master's going to give you a sign anyway. Now listen, watch for this. A girl who is presently a virgin will get pregnant. She'll bear a son and name him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And by the time the child is 12 years old, able to make moral decisions, the threat of war will be over. Relax. Those two kings that have you so worried will be out of the picture. But also be warned, God will bring on you and your people and your government a judgment worse than anything since the time the kingdom split, when Ephraim left Judah, and the king of Assyria is indeed coming. So, there's our word for the day. A couple things I wanted to cover with you. One is, troubled times aren't limited to December 2019, are they? Verse 2, when they got the news, what did they do? They shook like trees. Now, isn't God cool in that? We got all that wind the other day just so I could have a sermon illustration. Is that awesome or what? I mean, but did you see all of the trees moving around? I mean, it was wicked. Now, this doesn't mean anything to you, but Kathy and I, because we have pine trees on the side of our house, but we never get pine needles on our deck. Guess what? Pine needles on our deck! That's what she, whoa, we got pine needles on our deck. Boy, was it windy. I was out, me and Kathy and what's your first name?
Mary Grace.
Mary Grace. She's our guest for the Thanksgiving holidays. We were out there hanging lights yesterday. And anyway, she and Kathy were holding the ladder while I was up there like an idiot hanging lights. But anyway, it was a windy day, right? So that's what they were doing when they heard the news that these two countries were going to invade them. So translate it to today. What's shaking you? Is it a debt? Is it a relationship that's gone sour? Is it a job that just is a, you just don't like it? You don't like the job? You don't like the people? You don't know what to do? Is it a marriage? Is it your health? What is it that is shaking you? Because let's be honest, we all have our issues, don't we? If you don't, I do. I used to tell my commander, sir, if you knew what I knew, we'd both get run out of town. So I know what's going on with you as well as my own life. So there's a lot shaking us, a lot of things that another person may say no big deal, but to you it's a huge deal. It is shaking this tree of your life. And so identify what's shaking. But then the other part of this is the enemy is where? They're at the gates. And what does God say? Does he say, hey, get those arrows we paid for. Get those chariots. He says, chillax. Chillax. Now, hear me. What's shaking your tree matters to God. But the other thing that I fail to appreciate is I see the wind, I see the pine needles, I see my now, but I don't often remember that God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and I am in his hands. And so he's got it. He's got me, and he's got that. And so he tells them to chillax, relax. But then the king is Ahaz, and so Ahaz's lack of trust, though, was his undoing. Because you see, what you may not know about this guy is he wasn't following God. Remember, this is not Uzziah, this is Ahaz. And Ahaz was sacrificing kids. Ahaz wasn't doing he was trying to have, he was a little bit Mormon, he was a little bit Jehovah Witness, a little bit Baptist, you know. He was just a multi-flavored dude. And so, you know, he followed, hey, we'll sacrifice a kid, bring Billy Bob in here. I mean, he just did it all. So he wasn't really somebody who had a relationship with God. All right? So God comes to him and says, okay, let's pray about this. The prophet says, ask for something big from God. But Ahaz had a problem. He didn't know that God. He hadn't conversed with that God. He hadn't worshiped that God. What he had worshiped was society. And so he was mute. He didn't know what to do. So when it comes time for us asking from God the big things in life, I got to tell you, it's much, much easier when he's right next to you and you can say, hey, God, I need help with this. Instead of looking at a vacuum and saying, you know what? I am not with God. I need to move that way. So Ahaz, he just didn't trust in God. The reality is we never have it. The only time we do have it is when God is with us. And he has us. So you may be thinking, okay, Tom, what's this got to do with Advent? What's this got to do with Christmas? You're probably thinking that, aren't you, guy? You're probably thinking, what up? Well, I'm going to try to make sense of it. It says this. Isaiah turns next in verses 13 through 14. He addresses this messed up king and the powerless people. So you've got two things. And he says that now that these people that are in the dark, in the middle between these warring powers, and they're really living at the mercy of an incorrupt government, an ungodly government, and he promises this. He says, God is going to do something miraculous. Isaiah 7:14, in our helplessness, God promises to do the impossible. You know, I love life. My lab tests are looking really good. Looks like I'll be around for at least another day. You know, so life is, you know, good. I actually, for the first time since my cancer, I actually worked out last night for 20 minutes. Woo-hoo! Almost died, and then I got on the ground. Kathy had to do that heart palpitation thing to get me going again. You know, we all have stuff happen, right? We all do. I'm here to tell you that God can do the impossible. There's no cure for what I have. You know that. But what God has done in my life, Since I was diagnosed with this cancer, I would never trade it for $1 billion or even a cure. Because I have been able to converse with the Father in a much more intimate way. I have been able to enjoy the fruits of the presence of God in my life, and you have enjoyed that from your pastor. Here is my ministry. I would never trade it for $1 billion. So I welcome this, not because I want to hurt, that I want to have these injections every 2 weeks and this thing stuck in my chest. I look like a robot. But you know what? Through that, I am being blessed beyond measure. So folks, it's not necessarily a cessation of the issue. It's getting into God's will. That's what you want. His will in your life. And God looked at this messed up country, and he looked at these messed up people, and he said, I'm going to do something that you need desperately. And I'm going to give you a promise. And the promise is this: I'm going to come back and invade this world. And I'm going to come and fix it. And I'm going to come in the form of a man. He's going to be known as Jesus. And you're going to call him Emmanuel, because that means what? God with us. And I'm going to fix this for you, because I love you. So that, hopefully I got that. Oh, the teaching. So the other thing, though, that I wanted you to see about this is, if you flash forward to Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, you see that Joseph and Mary are in a particular quandary. What's their quandary? Mary's pregnant, right? Now, can you imagine, again, let's get reality going here, okay? Your daughter comes to you, or your sister, or your neighbor. She says, my name is Mary, and I'm pregnant. And you're going to say, uh-huh, you and Joseph been messing around. And then she's going to say, no, we haven't had any relations. And you're going to think what? Yeah, right. And then you just don't know what to do. Mary was in a deep, deep quandary. Listen to this video.
Did you know that your baby boy has
The real joy is this. Those quandaries that you have, that you think are defeating you, are the very things to praise and worship God with. Mary was in a quandary about a child that was about to be born and what to do. That very child is the Savior of mankind. And the issues that you're going through with a life given into the hands of God, no matter what's going into your life, and I understand there's some tough stuff going on in your lives, but you give your life to Jesus Christ, and it unlocks the keys to experience the presence of God, the peace of God, and the power of God. And then the cool thing is, then you impact the lives of others with your life. I don't know, it might, you know, I look forward to getting in heaven and everything be over with, and I'd like to see the lives that I've impacted, not out of a bragging kind of thing, but you know what? You know, if one person shows up, maybe my mother, that's okay. But I just know that there's going to be a sea of people that God has used me to influence, and there'll be a sea of people, more importantly, that God has used you to influence with a life given over to the Lord. So, as we've listened to that song, I think it's mind-blowing what God can do in a life. So, remember our text. It's a time of turmoil. Men have messed up things again. The people have no way to fix it. In fact, we've been a rebellious lot since the Garden of Eden, hadn't we? Unwilling to listen, obey and follow a pathway. We're just an ordinary people. But Isaiah's prophecy of hope was given in a time of hopelessness and rebellion, a time where those leading God's people were not holy. He would physically, he says, that God would be with us, and he would physically walk with us and sacrifice himself to give life to us. So, there's four things I want you to remember, so get a pen. First of all, this scripture. Remember, your beliefs are stronger than your circumstances. Your beliefs are stronger than your circumstances. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Your beliefs are stronger than your circumstances. Hold on to that, puppy. Write that down. Get a pen, write it on your arm. All right? Your beliefs are stronger than your circumstances. The other thing to remember is your struggles make you stronger. Now, I'll be honest. I looked at that video that we had this morning for announcements, and as I went and talked and went back to that connections board, I saw a fat preacher. He needs to lose weight. It says, remember, your struggles can make you stronger. While I may be looking fat, I got to tell you, I've got some really strong prayer muscles. I've got some really strong obedience muscles, because cancer will kick you to the curb unless you do that, okay? And listen to this scripture. It's Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for you. Every one of you, he gave life for a reason. You're not an oxygen thief. God has brought you here for a reason. And yeah, part of the fun is finding that out. What's God's plan for my life? I love that. Every day I wake up, what's going to happen today, God? This is cool. But the other thing is, and we know that for those who love God, what's it say? All things work together for good. You know, there are things that I have been praying for years for many of you. And I wish those would happen, but they're not like happening right now. And I don't really know why, but I will tell you that the third part is this, that God's timing is perfect. It's perfect. I am one impatient Muldoon. I want it now. In fact, if you've ever worked with me, I'll give you a job, and then if you don't get it done in 10 minutes, what happens? I do it. That's not good. So we tend to be impatient, but God's time. Listen to this in Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, or for good, for your good, other translations say. To give you a future and a hope. So God has plans for every life. He's got plans for Andy. It may be somewhere in your life you're going to win a wrestling match.
Wow.
Woo! God has plans for you. And so I would ask you, continue to pray for those things that you're laying before the Lord. I'm not saying stop. But understand that our clock is not God's clock. Be patient and seek Him more than you do the resolution of your issue. Do you hear me? Seek Him more than you do the resolution. The last thing is this. God will never leave your side. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Boy, time has gone fast. As a little kid, I know you probably, as you know me now and my personality, see me as the humble dude that I am. But I would pick fights and get in fights a lot with my neighborhood buddies. And I would call them all kinds of bad names, things you don't say in church. And I'd get them all mad. And then I would run home. I've told you this before. I would run home. And I would run home. And then my big brother would come out. And my big brother was a freak of nature. At like 10 years old, he was 6'3". He was huge. And this big monstrous kid would come out. What are you doing to my little brother? Like the Jolly Green Giant. What are you doing? And the kids would be petrified. Oh, nothing, Jim. We're not going to mess with your brother. We love Tommy. We love Tommy. Don't call me Tommy. We love Tommy. And I depended on that. And then one day I did the same thing, got them all mad, and they're all racing to beat me up, and I get to the house, and I say, Jim. No, Jim. I got beat up in my front yard. How humiliating is that? Let's be honest. We're not always going to be there for each other, are we? Try as we might. Circumstances may get in the way. I don't know, but we, as much as we love each other, we can't always be there for each other. But this word says what? God will never leave your side. The Advent candle that's lit and the ones that shall be lit are a reminder of the presence of God in your life today. I want to challenge you as I end the sermon. As we look at this time of God with us and a chance for us to reconnect with God, I want you to think about what are those issues that are really bothering you now? What has your attention? Is it a relationship that isn't right? Is it a marriage that's hurting? Is it a health issue that's really just scaring you? Is it the season itself? Because so many things have happened during this part of the calendar year that can haunt us. My father died on December 28th. So when we get to Christmas as a family, we think of my father's passing. That's part of Christmas for us. So some of you may have attached memories to Christmas like I do. So I don't know what's going on in your life. But the big difference that's in our life is the presence of God. I want to challenge you. Prayer team, those on the prayer team, if you could come forward. We're going to sing a song here in a moment with the praise team. And if you would like to come and pray with a member of the prayer team, or pray with me, or pray by yourself, go ahead and do so. But you come as God leads. Let's stand and sing.